God said he sent his word and healed them. I believe as he sends his word today, if you need healing in your body, you can receive it. If you need healing in your mind, if your mind is unsettled, if you are walking in fear, what does the word say? The perfect, perfect love casts out all fear. I'll be as bold to say, if you are operating in fear, you're not, you don't have a revelation of the perfect love of God. And we're all a work in progress, praise God. Amen. We are all a work in progress. But let that revelation resonate with you today. Let that word of instruction come to you today. So let's get our listening ears on. And like I said, I could say one word and it sends your heart into another place in the Word of God that the Holy Spirit is dealing with you on, and you're not listening to what I don't care. Because I want freedom for you. And if God is showing you something, then you need to do what we've been talking about. Meditate on it. So let me just say this, a word of encouragement along with what Gene just shared. If God is instructing you this morning, you take that instruction and you meditate on it. You think about it. You talk to yourself about it. You talk to your brain about it. You meditate on that word. And then he said something else. He said, do. And that's what we were talking about 2 weeks ago. Meditate on the Word of God. Do what you hear to do according to the Word. Act on it. Right? Faith without works is dead. It's dead. We can hear all the words that we want, but if we get personal and we don't act on them, then it does us no good. It does us no good. We have to act on the word of instruction that we receive for ourselves personally. Amen? Amen. Can we do that? Amen. As we were singing that third song, if you would put the lyrics up to that third song, God of This City, that course, greatest, it has the word greatest in it. I can't quote it. God of the City. See, I can't even think about it now. Huh? Somebody sing it to me. Is that it? Greater. All right. For greater things. I have to look back here because I can't read this. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come. And greater things are still to be done in this city. If you turn to Matthew chapter 5, or you can, I'm just going to quote one verse, verse 14. You don't have to turn there. It's real quick. It says, you are the light of the world, a city set high. Leave those lyrics up. Yes, thank you, Teresa. You are the light of the world, a city set high, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let me do that one more time because I got a little. Chapter 5, 14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. For greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. You are the city that the greater things are going to be done in and are yet to come. You are the city. You are the city. Look at Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Except the Lord keeps the city, the watchman wakes, but in vain. You are the city that greater things are to be done through. But unless the Lord does them through you, it's in vain. Can you make that connection today? And we were talking about that in our prayer circle before service. A word came forth from Judy Smith and how we're to be bold. We need to be bold in this day in proclaiming the works of the Lord, in proclaiming the name of Jesus, in proclaiming what the blood means to us and what it's done for us. We're to be bold in that, in sharing our faith. But in Acts, he tells that when he sent them out, he said, what? It said, the Lord working with them. They were able to perform mighty wonders. And then they all, what did they do? They all came back to Jesus. They were jumping. I mean, I could just, can you picture them? Oh, Jesus, the devils are cast out when we cast them out in your name. And the deaf hear, and then the lame walk, and then the sick are recovered. And they're jumping around, jumping. I mean, can you imagine the hype, if I can put it that way, when they came back to Jesus? What if Christian Growth Center was like that? What if you got a revelation of the Lord working with you when you're out in the world, and you come back and testify to all of us? Can you see it? Can you picture it in your mind? Can you get a faith picture for that? If you can't, just ask. God, show me. Holy Spirit, reveal that picture to me. And let things change. Let restoration come. Restoration of all things. I'm telling you, we are the light. We are the city. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in us, in you, in me, in Christian Growth Center. Amen? Do y'all receive that today? I believe that was a word that came forth, and God is always right on time. His word is always right on time. And if you will take this and meditate on it, chew on it. I'm telling you, don't just come and let it go in one ear and out the other. Take one word and just meditate on it. And God will bring you revelation on that one word, on that one phrase, on that one thought. But be obedient. And do it. Amen? Well, glory to God. I believe we serve a mighty God, a good God, an all-powerful God. And what has He done? He's given it to us. We are the stewards in this earth. What are we doing with our stewardship? Simple question. What are we doing with our stewardship? What are we doing? What are you doing? Amen. All right, well, I hope y'all can receive that this morning. No one's jumping up and down for joy, so we're going to move on. And we're going to talk about, one, I just wanted to go over what we had talked about since it has been 2 weeks since we've been together. I've missed you all. It's kind of like missing a brother or a sister or a loved one when you don't see them for a while. My heart, can I say pines for you? It does. It does. I miss seeing you guys when we have a break like that. So I'm just glad we're all back together again. Amen? Amen. So just to sum up what we talked about last time, to get it, because it kind of rolls into what I want to share today. We talked about meditating on God's Word. Meditating on God's word. I shared out of Joshua, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, meaning it shall be in your mouth continually, all the time. And then it shares in Joshua, you know, you want to be prosperous, you want to be wise, you want to be successful, you need to meditate on the word. Meditate on the word. You need to be a doer of the word. We talked about that in James. You cannot be a listener only. You cannot come in here every Sunday and just listen. You cannot watch TV or the internet and people on the internet and just listen. You cannot put a tape in and just listen. You cannot read a book and just listen. You have to be a doer of what you're hearing. You have to be a doer. You got to put feet to it and be a doer of it. After you've meditated on it, after you've listened, and we talked about that, understanding how we hear from God. We talked about that small inner voice. And when we hear from God, when He's dealing with us on something, or He wants to show us something, more than likely He is going to speak to you in that small, still voice. A lot of us want a lightning bolt or something, you know, dramatic to happen. A lot of people throw out fleeces. Well, Lord, if you send that person over to talk to me about this, then I'll believe it. Well, I mean, sometimes he does things like that. But that is not the majority. The majority is that small, still voice on the inside of you that you have to be listening to and listening for. And when he speaks, you'll know it because there'll be peace about it. Let me tell you, if you believe the Lord is wanting you to do something and you don't have peace about it, either one, it's not the Lord, or two, you're just not at a place where you understand it completely. If there's no peace, I would say this, if there's no peace, don't act on it. Does that make sense? That's what we were talking about. How the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord searching all our innermost parts. How our spirit is our inner man and how he speaks to us through that small, still voice. And really, that's what Philippians 4:7 is talking about, where we've heard it, you know, that peace that passes all understanding. Oh, we quote it, we speak it, that peace. May that peace that passes all understanding be upon you. You know, we pray that for people. But that's what it is. It's that small, still voice speaking to us and that understanding that we're hearing from God, and that peace comes. And that peace comes. And it passes all understanding, meaning no matter what's going on around us, no matter what, no matter if 1,000 fall at our side or 10,000 at our right hand, it will not come near you or your house. Amen? So, I said it was speaking, spirit speaking to spirit. And I said this, and I've thought about this quite a bit, and I don't know if you picked up on this the last time. I said our soul, which is what? Our mind, will, and emotions, right? Our soulish realm cannot understand the peace of God unless our born-again spirit man, our inner man, translate it for our soul. I can't give you scripture per se for that, but that's what I believe, is that it does talk about spirit speaking to spirit. The Holy Spirit speaking to our spirit. And we need to be listening. So that sums up what I shared. And then I talked about in 2019, where I believe the Lord is wanting to take us as a congregation. And I hope you as individuals, we're talking about going deeper with God. Going deeper with God. And what does that mean? It's going to mean something different for each one of us. And then it's going to mean something for this body, for Christian Growth Center, I believe. And I believe he's going to start to reveal exactly what that means for Christian Growth Center and exactly what it means for you if you'll meditate on it, you'll listen to what he's saying, and then you'll do what he says. Because he wants that intimate relationship with you. How many of you have acquaintances? People that you know, that you talk to from time to time. Anybody got those? How many of you have, you know, a circle of closer friends that you might share, you know, things about your family or your life with, on a regular basis? Anybody have a circle of friends that they talk to a little bit more often? But how many have those deep, intimate, personal friendships, where you know you could share anything with that person? They won't judge you, they won't criticize you, they'll support you, they'll love you, they'll bring you corrections sometimes if you need to hear. Anybody have those close, personal, intimate relationships in their life? That's what God wants with us. He wants that intimate, personal relationship that Jesus' blood bought for us. He wants us to have that with him. He wants us to go deeper with Him. He wants us to be intimate with Him. And we need to do that. So what I want to talk about today is going deeper with God and just give some encouraging things about how we can do that. Just some real practical stuff. You know, some of us, we can come in here and talk spiritual things all day long, but some need to make that bridge to the practical. Some do it automatically. Some need some help. I need some help sometimes. So these are just some things that I want to encourage you in to help you in going deeper with God in 2019. Amen? Staying on fire for God. How many want to be on fire? You know, I'm telling you, the verse that always rises up inside of me, the verse that I told Bob Lemon when he laid hands on me to set me, when they set me in as pastor, and that verse in Jeremiah says, it's like a fire shut up inside my bones. That fire of God on the inside. It's like it's shut up in my bones and I want to, you know, get it out. And sometimes I don't know how to get it out. Any of y'all feel like that? Or am I the only one? Does anybody in here feel stuck sometimes? Or is it just me? Oh yeah, I feel stuck sometimes. I feel like that fire is raging on the inside of me and I can't get it out. So how do we do that? How do we get that fire out and how do we keep that fire burning? Jesus said, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. That's part of the Beatitudes. If you know that sermon of the Beatitudes. Part of that, he said, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Have you ever hungered and thirsted for something? I mean, I bet each one of you have a trigger point where I could say a certain food and man, I bet your mouth would start watering already. I can say carrot cake and my mouth starts watering. Because you know, when it hits those sensory taste buds, it's just going to do something to you. He wants you to hunger and thirst like that for righteousness. For righteousness. Adding more depth to your spiritual life is an intentional step. I want to hear you hear that word, intentional. You know, we come to church and sometimes I think just by our presence we're going to, and it happens, but we got to be intentional sometimes about how deep we want to go with God. It's an intentional step. It will draw you closer to God. And it'll bring perpetual reward to your journey as well. If we want to stay on fire for God and go deeper, we must. It is an absolute. We must be intentional. We must be intentional. What are some things that we can do to be intentional? Pray more. Read more. Meditate. Do more. Hunger and thirst in those areas, in other words. Amen? Another thing we can do to go deeper is to recognize your spiritual identity. Does anybody know the three points of our vision? So, grow, and go. We are sowing faith into people's lives so that they can grow in righteousness and they can go out into the world and share with boldness the love of God. Growing in righteousness requires us to recognize our identity, who we are in Christ. Knowing who you are in Christ is important to your spiritual depth. God wants to give you revelation for the destiny and calling He has for your life. He wants to give you revelation of that destiny and calling. What does Jeremiah 29 say? He says, I've got plans and purposes for you, plans not to harm you. There's a purpose for your life. And He wants to give you revelation of that destiny, of that calling. And It's different for each one of us. If we can't look at someone being successful in one area and say, oh, well, I need to be doing that, and that's how I need to be doing it, He may be calling you to a different area, and He'll show you. He'll show you how to accomplish everything that He has for you. The blueprint for this path can only be accessed in the Spirit and by understanding our identity in Christ. Remember, it's Spirit speaking to Spirit. And let me just put a plug in here. I look out over y'all, and I believe, if not most, all are filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when I say Spirit speaking to Spirit, man, that is one way, the best way to gain understanding in an area is by exercising the gift of tongues, is by speaking that perfect prayer that the Holy Spirit understands and identifies with. And when we don't understand, we can pray that perfect prayer with that gift. So I just encourage you, if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, and what I mean by baptized in the Holy Spirit, most of y'all have heard this, you know, and you are. But that you are baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Because when you don't, you can speak in tongues, and I believe revelation will come as you do that. Amen? Another thing that we can do to go deeper with God. Again, we're talking about going deeper with God. Why am I talking about going deeper with God? Why do I believe God wants to take us in this direction? I don't know if it'll be for the whole year. I don't know if it'll be for longer. I don't know if it'll be for a week. We're going to go as the Holy Spirit leads. But why are we talking about this? Because I believe that we're getting into some times in the earth where we're going to have a firm foundation. Too many people have built their castle on the sand, and we need to be on the rock. And so Kenneth Copeland's been getting back to the basics of faith. So we need to get our roots going deep, and not only deep, but wide. A firm foundation, established on the Word. Not some, you know, emotional experiences to tickle our senses. I mean, there are times when we're going to have, I believe, supernatural things happening. And it'll cause you to be emotional. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about getting a firm foundation established on the Word of God. So when the storms come, when things are happening in these end times, it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. We need to be firmly planted and established on the Word. So that, just like we were talking about, when things happen, when all hell is breaking out around us, and that can take many different forms, and people see you and you are firmly established, staying in your peace, and they say, what don't you see what's going on around? Yeah, but I'm not moved by it. I'm not moved by what I see. I am firmly planted and established in the Word of God. And they'll say, well, brother, sister, I need that. Tell me how, and you'll be ready to share what's on the inside of you, to share why you're able to stand in the storm. Well, let me tell you about the foundation that I stand on. Right? Our inner life. I'm getting ahead of myself. Recognizing your spiritual identity. He wants to give you revelation of your destiny and calling as a blueprint. Spirit speaking to Spirit. Arming yourself with God's Word. Another way that we can go deeper with God this year is arming yourself with His Word. Arming yourself with His Word. Our inner life must be governed by the Word of God. The Bible acts as a spiritual sword, cutting away false ideas and harmful things of this world that try to attach themselves to our life. When you're armed with God's Word, it acts as an umpire between right and wrong. You just know. You inherently know. When that Word of God is established inside of you, you inherently know what's right and what's wrong. And there's peace. There's always peace in that. Pastor Rob used to put it this way all the time. God, do I have your permission to do this? Do I have your permission to do this? Cutting away any harmful things. When I got born again, this young man named Tony Cromer introduced me to Russ Taff. Anybody ever heard Russ Taff? There's a movie out about him right now, about his life. But he had some lyrics in one of his songs, and I can't remember the lyrics right now. But I remember meditating on those lyrics, and I was brand new Christian, born again. And the basis of it, I said, Lord, I want you to rip anything out of me that is not of you. I mean, it was violent. I was violent about it. And those lyrics spawned, I don't remember the exact lyrics. I want you to rip it out of me. Because I don't want anything in me that is not of you. And I just want you to rip it out. I take that sword and just cut it out of me. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Sometimes we got to be violent in what we're going after. And that's what he did for me. And that commitment, I believe, led to where I am now. That one act of obedience, me hearing something in a lyric of a song, turning it inside and saying, just take it out. Take it all out that isn't of you. And now I get to stand here and preach his word. That takes me to the next one, pouring your life out for his kingdom. Pouring our lives out for his kingdom. Self-sacrifice for the sake of God's purposes and plans cost us something. Let me say that again. Self-sacrifice. It's a choice. Nobody's making you do it, okay? Nobody is, you know, when you get born again, God is not pointing a gun to your head and saying, you got to lose it all if you want to follow me. He gives you that choice. And it costs us. The gospel's free, but it requires those who follow to lose their life so that Christ may live in them instead. When we try to hold on to our life, we lose it, but through giving it away, we gain all that God has for us and more. Because the Spirit of God in you responds to righteousness, joy, and peace. And that's in the Word. Romans 14:17. Says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We have to pour out our life for his kingdom. And I don't think we understand that. I think that's an area we need to get a revelation of. I believe it's an area where the saints of old, and I don't know, Martin Luther Jonathan Edwards and people like that, they poured their life. I don't know if it's Jonathan Edwards or the other one that part of the first or second Great Awakening. Forgive me of my historical facts, but one of them was known as the traveling evangelist. I don't know what the name was they gave him, but he rode around on horseback. Back when, you know, we were just colonies, preaching the Word of God, laying down his life. Now, I own horses, but I ain't going to go riding around on horseback throughout the New River Valley proclaiming the Word. I believe there's better techniques. I'll leave that to Saul. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's why Matthew encourages us to seek the kingdom of God first. Seek the kingdom of God first, and then all these things that we worry about from day to day to day. How many worry about, getting food for your kids on the table, and how you're going to pay for this, and how you're going to go do this, and how you're going to buy all the stuff they need for all the sports they play. And maybe, am I talking about myself? Where am I going to get the funds to pay for a house, somewhere to live, stuff to wear, stuff I put on my body, stuff I put in my body? How are we going to do those things? Well, the Bible's very clear. Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, His joy, His peace. And then those things will come. They'll just be like an add-on. I mean, you won't even need to strive for them. You won't even need to think about them. They'll just be there when you need them. Amen? When we seek the kingdom of God, which is His righteousness, peace, and joy, those things we will have. And when these three, and I just said their state of mind, right? It can be. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. When they're active in your life, it creates an ease of entering into the spiritual life and deepening your walk with God. You want to go deeper with God? Then seek first the kingdom of God, righteousness, joy, and peace in your life. And you'll get deeper. You'll get deeper. I said this. I even put it in bold, so I must have really meant it when I wrote it down. Going deeper with God, and I underlined this word, requires we operate in these three. If you're not at peace, if you're not in joy, or if you don't understand who you are in Christ, your righteousness, then you're not going to get deeper. You're not going to get deeper. You will not go deeper with God, period, if you do not understand those three. And how do we get there? We meditate. We listen. We do. We meditate. We listen. We do. We meditate. We listen. We do. Amen. Growing in wisdom, another area where we can go deeper with God if we grow in our wisdom. Luke chapter 2, verse 52 says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Listen, if Jesus increased in wisdom, we certainly must increase in wisdom. Right? Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the third part of the Trinity. He increased in wisdom. So we must increase in wisdom if we want to go deeper with God. I said, let's learn from our mistakes and turn your experience into a wealth of wisdom. Pray for wisdom. Doesn't he say? Those who lack wisdom, ask for it and He will give it to you. How? Liberally. Not stingily. Not just a little bit here and there. Ask for it and He'll give it to you. He'll pour it out on you. He'll pour it into you. If you ask in faith, with no doubt. Need to be wise. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. That means to me sometimes I think I said we'd give you practical things. Let's say that you have a family member that you're praying for and believing for in a certain area, and God gives you a word about that individual. And it may be a very stern word of correction or calling them out in an area of their life. But how do we minister that word to them? Sometimes we got to be as harmless as doves when we do that. Now there is a time. Timothy talks about it. He says, some you got to pull out of the fire, man. You got to get down and just grab them by the collar and yank them out. But other times you got to win them with love. Win them with love. Be harmless as doves. I could write a song lyric something like that. You got to win them with love, but be harmless as doves. You got to be all just... Keep on. Get wisdom. The Bible says to get wisdom. We're talking about growing in wisdom to go deeper with God. You got to get it. It ain't coming to you. That's that part of doing. You meditate and you listen and you do. You do. You got to get it. You got to ask for it. In James, you got to get it. Proverbs, I'm just going to spout off about 4, 5, 6 Proverbs here about wisdom. Proverbs, and we don't have to go there, Teresa. I'm just going to... Proverbs 3:13, it says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. You want to be happy? Search for. But not just search, find wisdom. You can't find it, ask for it. He'll give it to you liberally. Proverbs 4:5 says, get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. If you want to go deeper with God, if you think your spiritual relationship with God is on the acquaintance level, and you want to get him to that next level, get wisdom. It's the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Proverbs 16:16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? See, we're out here seeking for the gold and the silver and the rubies and the riches of this world when we ought to be seeking out wisdom. And when we get wisdom, then the rubies, the gold, the silver, the things of this world that our hearts sometimes desire, they will be added to us, and it won't be with sorrow. You seek it for yourself out of the sweat of your own brow, I guarantee you might get it, but it'll be with sorrow. And it'll cost you more than you want to pay. But if you get wisdom, if you go after the kingdom of God first, then he'll add those, and there'll be no sorrow with them. That's called the blessing. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? Proverbs 17:16. Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? You have to have a heart for wisdom. I can stand up here and tell you, get wisdom, get wisdom. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. But if it's not in your heart, if he's not revealed that to you personally, it's no good. Proverbs 19:8. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. I know people that just don't love themselves. I know people personally that don't love themselves. It says if you can't love yourself, how are you going to love your brother? My paraphrase. You have to learn to love yourself. And how do you do that? Proverbs says you get wisdom. You get wisdom. So how do we get it? We meditate on the word. We listen. And then we do. We act. We act when we hear. Daily spiritual upkeep is another way that we can go deeper with God. Daily spiritual upkeep. Our spiritual battle is won in the day-to-day upkeep of our spiritual life. Do something to feed your spirit daily. And I believe the spirit is nourished most through prayer, fasting, and reading of God's word. I believe those are the three, the big three, if you want to say. Now, there are other ways, certainly. I mean, you're listening to me, you listen to tapes, you read books that other authors have authored about the word of God. But I believe the three most important best ways to feed your spirit daily is one in prayer. I believe that's why the Lord gave us that word a couple years ago, that prayer is to be a priority here. That is for this body, and I believe, I hope, that it is for you individually, that prayer is to be a priority in your life. We don't talk about it a lot, but I believe fasting is a man. If you've ever fasted, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but if you've fasted out of obedience, not because someone told you to, not because you were participating in a group fast, those things are fine. I'm not saying those are bad. But if the Lord laid it on your heart to fast and you did it, someone tell me that it didn't benefit them. Because I believe fasting combined with prayer, now that's even more powerful. That will get you deep. Deep with God. And then reading your word. There's no substitute for it, people. There is absolutely no substitute for reading the word of God. I'm fine with reading books about the word of God, because people are anointed and have insight and can communicate that in a certain way that people will pick up on and understand. But that is not a substitute. That is an addition to. That is not a substitute for reading the word of God. It was God inspired, God breathed. And we need to be reading it. You need to be reading it. Daily, if possible. Now, don't get into condemnation if you don't get in it every day. But I believe, let's go back to that hunger and thirst for righteousness. I believe the more you do get into it, the more you're going to hunger and thirst for it. It's just the way it happens. The more you read the word, the more you're going to hunger and thirst for it. You want to go deeper? I believe it's got to be daily. And I believe the three best ways are prayer, fasting, and reading God's word. Now, fasting, like I said, we don't talk about that a lot here. And that's my fault. You know, I need to be doing some more teaching on fasting and why we do it. I mean, the word, he says when you fast. He didn't say if. He said when you fast. Fasting, I believe, is my contention. Fasting can be different. I mean, some people, you say fasting, they think they can't touch water, bread, food, whatever, for whatever amount of time. Well, I believe you can fast different things. I've heard people fast TV. Some of us need to fast the internet. Social media. Some of us need to fast that. Because listen, you don't understand. It's like that frog in a boiling pot of water starting out on the stoves. You don't realize how much time it's consuming, how much mental tax, how taxing it is on your mental capacity, how it's influencing, how it's hurting your spirit. You don't realize it. But let me tell you something, and this may be a challenge to some of y'all. I'm throwing down the gauntlet. Some of y'all, just do it. Fast it for a week. And you come back and tell me it didn't benefit me at all. I just dare you to. I guarantee you, if you in your heart will do it with integrity and honesty, you lay that down for a week, I guarantee you, man, you'll be edified. It's not, listen, I'm not, I'm not anti-technology, anti-social media. The church uses it, for crying out loud. I'm not saying we don't need it or don't use it at all. I'm saying get a check, evaluate and examine yourself where you are, where it's concerned, and see if it's an issue for you. And the only way I think maybe you can get a true picture of that is if you fast it, if you stay away from it for a certain period of time. And that goes for anything. I'm beating up on social media, I understand, but it could be anything. It can be, I mean, everybody, food, yes. We all think of food. It could be television. It could be a toxic relationship. It could be, I don't know, you insert the word. Whatever's grabbing your attention more than the word or the kingdom. Fast it. Step away from it. Examine yourself. We feed our bodies daily. Well, our spirits need to be cared for as well. 1 Timothy 4:8 says this, out of the Amplified, "For physical training is of some value, useful for a little, but godliness, spiritual training, is useful and of value in everything and in every way, for it holds promise for the present life and also for the life which is to come." I love physical training. It does something to you. I mean, once you start, it's kind of like that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Once you get into it, you want to hunger and thirst for more physical training. Well, let's be that way spiritually. Let's get into a spiritual training program. And when you train, it's like, I'm trying to think of an analogy in a sports arena. I'm trying to think of a good one that, I mean, I don't know. Well, runners, jumpers, you train your muscles. Your muscles have muscle memory, they call it. I'm getting into an area I probably don't know nothing about, okay? Y'all just go with me. And if I'm saying something incorrect, you guys that know something about it, tell me, girls. I didn't mean guys as in male. You guys, gentlemen. You have muscle memory, right? So I don't care. Tennis player, you know? I mean, they don't get good at the backhand just by going out there, just because they're physically fit and able to. No, they practice. They train. It's like muscle memory, that backswing. I mean, if you get that racket angled a couple degrees either wrong way, you're either going to hit it in the net or you're going to fly to the back of the court. Basketball. Man, come on. How many? You don't get to be a pro basketball player without practicing your foul shots and getting that muscle memory of that motion in there. It was a three-point shot. It doesn't matter. Any shot. You get that muscle memory in there. Baseball players, the swing. Come on. You can't, you know, you can have all the athletic ability in the world, but you go out there and swing a bat for the first time, you may get a couple nice lucky hits. But to do it day in and day out, they go out there and they practice batting day on end, hours on end. Pitching, same thing. Throw in that little ball to that small area. You know, you train that you train every muscle in your body, that motion, to get it there in that same general area every time. If it's that way for physical training, spiritual training works on that principle too, I believe. And just like training your body for whether basketball, baseball, football, track, you know, we all have specific areas in the spirit, in the realm of the spirit, that we train our spirit man for. One area may be in prayer. Another may be in, laying hands on the sick, walking in healings and miracles, and others prophesying, you know, speaking the inspired word of God. Others may be teaching. I mean, these are the areas that we focus our spiritual muscle, if I had to put it that way, in. But we still need train. We need to train our spirit man, just like we do our physical man. Amen? Does that make sense? And in a heart examination, another way that we can go deeper in God, we have to examine our heart. The Bible says, judge ourselves. We're to judge ourselves. We're to look inward. You know, I gave a message one time and talked about blame shifting. And they talk about that in the Art of Marriage with the marriage class that we're doing, and how that is the most natural and easiest path to take. We want to blame shift. Something that we've done that we want to put on someone else. We do that in the realm of the Spirit. Something's not going a certain way. Well, we want to blame it on the pastor. Well, he just don't teach us right. He don't teach us right. I'm not going there. I'm not going to beat myself up for y'all's sake. But he said, the Bible tells us to examine ourselves. Examine means to search your heart, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal hindrances to your spiritual growth, to going deeper with God. Once these blockages are removed, it opens our heart more and more to be able to enter into deeper levels of the spiritual journey. Sometimes we need to get a spiritual bypass. Anybody know someone, or maybe even yourself, has had a heart bypass? You know, I think they take veins from your legs and they reroute the ones that are going through your heart or to your heart. Do y'all know? I mean, you get a blockage in there and they put a little detour around it, right? Sometimes we need a spiritual bypass. What does that mean? I don't know, but it sounds good, doesn't it? Sometimes we just got to go in there and blow it up. You ever seen them old westerns when they used to, during the railroad days, and the outlaws would build a barricade on the railroad because they wanted the train to stop and they could rob the gold out of it. Well, sometimes that's a blockage, right? You got to blow that thing up, get it out of the way. What's blocking you in going deeper with God? What is blocking you? Oh, I can name a lot of things. What is blocking you? What is taking your eye from Jesus? What has your attention? And here's a good one. I didn't intend to share this, but we're going to give you opportunity later. Where is your money going? That is what has your attention. Look, God talks about money a lot in the Word. Where is it going? That is what has your attention. Now I'll leave that one alone. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, examine and test and evaluate your own selves to see whether you are holding to your faith and showing the proper fruits of it. Test and prove yourselves. Not Christ. Don't test Christ, basically. Test and prove yourselves. Do you not yourselves realize and know thoroughly by an ever-increasing experience that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you are counterfeits, disapproved on trial, and rejected. Let me read that again. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine and test and evaluate your own selves to see whether you are holding to your faith and showing the proper fruits of it. Test and prove yourselves, not Christ. Do you not yourselves realize and know thoroughly by an ever-increasing experience that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless you are counterfeits, disproved on trial and rejected. Showing the proper fruits of it. Holding to your faith. We sow faith here. Holding to your faith. And showing the proper fruits of it. Righteousness, is a fruit of faith. Understanding who you are in Christ, your righteousness with God, is a fruit of your faith. Are you examining yourself? Are you examining your own fruit? Are you looking at your fruit? What fruit do you have? What fruit? How do we do all this? We meditate, we listen, and then we do what we hear. If it's of God, and we have peace about it. Going deeper with God. Getting on a firm foundation. Digging down to the rock, to the bedrock, to Jesus, and establishing our foundation. We do it by being intentional to know who you are. And how do you know who you are? You put the word in daily. And we give out. Listen, we give out. We don't just receive. We give out. We're doers. We get wisdom and we examine our heart daily. Just some ways, just some thoughts, just some encouragement on how you can go deeper with God this year. And I hope you take it to heart. Because I believe God, listen, I believe God wants to do tremendous things through this body. And I say body, I mean you all. All of us. I believe He wants to bring restoration. He wants to bring restoration to this church. He wants to bring restoration to people's lives. But He can only do that through you. You are His ambassador in this earth. You are His representative. You are His voice, His mouthpiece, His hands, His feet. The light in the darkness. The salt that preserves. You're all these things. You have a calling. You have a purpose. And He wants to give you revelation in that calling and that purpose. Amen? Amen? Well, glory to God. Well, that's all the teaching for today. But I would ask this question. How many? And be serious about it. Take this time and examine yourself. How many truly want to go deeper with God? How many truly want? I believe that Christian Growth Center fills a void in the New River Valley, if I can say it like that. I believe this body fills a void that is in the New River Valley, and that's that void of faith. I talk to many people. I fellowship with different pastors. And this, I hesitate to even share that. I'm not knocking any church. I'm not knocking any religion. I'm not. They all have their place. But we have our place as a body of believers, as Christian Growth Center. And I believe it's a place of faith where we can stand in the gap, where we will see what Psalm 91 talks about, 1,000 fallen at our side and 10,000 at our right hand and not come near us, because we're people of faith. We understand who we are in Christ. What the benefits of being in Christ is. We understand that we have a firm foundation. We've gone deep. We've prepared ourselves. This is a year of preparation for things that are coming. We fill a void in the New River Valley. Operation School Guard fills a void, a place of standing in faith for these young students' lives. We fill a void when we see people in the marketplace and they're dealing with something. And we have the answer for them. And not only do we have the answer, but we demonstrate that in love. Whether it's simply sharing the gospel, whether it's praying for them and laying hands on them because they're sick or something's going on in their body and they get delivered, whether they're having some mental breakdown and we pray for deliverance, casting the demon out. Christian Growth Center fills a void in the New River Valley. I want you to get a picture of that. That we have a place. We have a calling. He has a purpose for us in the New River Valley. And when we start to operate in that, you want church growth? You want to see lives changed? People delivered, set free? You want to see miracles? Then let's start doing them. Let's go deeper. Let's get a revelation of what the body of Christ, why are we still on the earth? Why are we still here? Why has Jesus not come back for us? Because we have work to do, people. Amen? Okay, I'm starting to get... I'm going to stop. But I want you to chew on that. Meditate on these things. Let the Holy Spirit bring it back to your memory. And just really, really chew on it. Meditate on the Word. And listen, I haven't said this in a while. If anything I share is contrary to this book, you let me know. You let me know. And we'll reason it out together. Because I love you. I love you with all my heart. I do. And I want to see us, Christian Growth Center, body believers. I want to see us fulfilling the call and destiny that God has for us. I want to see restoration in this place. I want to see restoration in individual lives. I want to see people being delivered and set free. I want to see people coming out of being in bondage to fear in everything they do and everywhere they go. And we can do that. I want to see people walking, healed, delivered, set free. It's my heart's cry. And I believe that we have a role to play in it as a church. And I believe that we'll only play that role as individuals step into their role, their calling, their gifting. Amen?